Hello, everyone. This is Glenn Krause, creator and founder of Core CDI with another great podcast. Appreciate you listening in. Today, I have the privilege of talking to Sean Connor. He's an accomplished revenue cycle professional. He has 6 years of experience as an implementation project manager with Epic Systems, partnering with clinical and revenue cycle leaders to design and build software that made them successful. Right now, he's lucky to be working, I wish I was in his shoes, working on an MBA while interning at Cleveland Clinic Innovations with the goal of transitioning to healthcare venture capital. So I'm once again, Sean, thanks for being on the call. And I connected with Sean because he was doing some research on denials management and read one of my articles posting on LinkedIn about denials management and the fact that we should be really focusing on denials avoidance and process improvement. So, Sean, thanks for being on the podcast. What I wanted to do today was ask you some couple of questions and get your thoughts on revenue cycle, CDI, and how, from the standpoint of workflow and process improvement in the EHR, whether you have Epic, Cerner, GE centricity, how could CDI, first of all, how does CDI maybe detract from good, strong design and workflow processes? I know just before we started the podcast, you were talking about empathizing and working with physicians recently and seeing all these alerts and frustration that they have these alerts that come up when they open up their charts on a daily basis. So what are your thoughts, Sean?
Yeah, and I think that's the key word there, that the alert is really the key, the only mode of communication that's being given to them about, you know, what they're doing on a daily basis to improve their clinical documentation, to make, you know, billing flow appropriately. Is they're getting retroactive alerts, angry messages, a constant queue of work that they're doing on top of caring for patients that's not really, you know, given in a personal way, and it's also, you know, kind of seen as distraction from what they really have to do. You know, when you think of your own email inbox and you wake up every single day to 100 nasty emails, you're not going to have a positive positive interaction or positive feeling about opening up your email and starting the day on a day-to-day basis. And that's what physicians are dealing with because that's the primary mode of communication that I'm seeing when I'm working with clinicians.
So how you know, we talked a little about CDI earlier in our conversation before the podcast. How do you see, what steps can the clinical documentation integrity specialist, or even not individually, collectively, the profession, where would you like to see the profession move? What direction do you think we should be moving in to engage physicians and reduce the reliance on queries and potentially reduce the burnout that we're contributing to because we're sending repetitive queries every day for the same thing for physicians? So what are you seeing in your internship there? Can we be doing to kind of change our outlook?
Yeah, I think there's two sides to it. I think there's the design element and there's the human element. So in the design element, if you ever think of, if you've read Nudge, a book by Richard Thaler about making decisions, you know, kind of easier for people, or making the easiest choice or the on by default, the appropriate manner in which, you know, the clinician or the client needs to be taking or making it easy for them to make the right decision. A lot of that can be done by UI improvements, just making the right clinical documentation or the right diagnosis or the right cosign or sign-off work smoothly within the workflow within whatever systems that they're using. And that just can be done by working with your EMR or your RCM provider in order to make things, you know, more streamlined to what a physician does on a day-to-day basis. And on the other side, it's just the actual communication with your providers on what they prefer. I've seen oftentimes that a billing workflows or charging workflows or clinical documentation that is required for a successful claim, oftentimes those pieces aren't even discussed before the system goes live. And the provider goes in on the first day and asks, what do I do to actually charge the patient? How do I sign this off? When they weren't engaged in the process. So I think consistent engagement and working together and making the physician feel like they're part of the design process, as well as working with your system, to make sure it's set up in the easiest way possible for the successful result.
Yeah, and that's an interesting point, because I was working at a hospital system in Maryland and worked with our IT medical director we were a sauna shop, and I was like sort of the go-to between the physicians and their struggles with the workflow processes, and I was like the conduit to the IT medical IT director. She was still practicing family medicine, and I found that to be rewarding. You said you obviously have lots of experience in project management, working with Epic and design and workflow processes. Do you see any role that CDI could play in that, in terms of structuring the workflow processes to the extent it can be done? Because I know I was in my recent assignment, they rolled out Epic, and it was a pretty smooth rollout, but unfortunately, pre-work could have been done to structure the workflow processes and just the way that the software or the record in terms of documentation and counter, how it flowed, and particularly the drop-down boxes and even the building of the templates. Is that something you think CDI could get involved in, based on historically your experience with project management and workflow design?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is cooperation between the two groups, RevCycle and clinicals, early. I think the timing is actually some of the issue that happens on big IT implementations, is that oftentimes the first time that the clinical teams are working side by side with the billing teams is, or at least on a high intensity basis, is during the charge testing or the testing phase, when the workflows are finally working and they're sending off charges to RevCycle, and they're getting, not the RevCycle is seeing what they're getting, and it's not necessarily the result they desire, and then there's a back and forth, and this happens way after the entire clinical workflow has been built out and designed, and then it can't be changed, and then they have to hire these coders, because now that they set up a workflow that doesn't directly trigger or put the right codes in the process. So all these things can be kind of mitigated by having the teams cooperate in the early phases. And that usually happens when the workflow is being initially designed and not necessarily when the system is being tested later on. So I think that's one of the key elements there, is that cooperation between the two teams at the right time.
Yeah, and I agree. In some fashion, I believe revenue cycle is reactive in terms of after the fact. And I like to see the revenue cycle, particularly the clinical documentation improvement folks, at the table before the implementation and even after the rollout, because we should be working with physicians to find out what their pain points are. I've always learned through and I've confirmed my conviction that rather than ask physicians or assume that what we're doing in terms of helping them translate the proper language from a clinical perspective to a reimbursement perspective, is that that's the only need that they have. So my approach, and I think all CDI approach should be, to work with physicians individually to understand what are their pain points, how can we help, what are the challenges of the EHR. We certainly can't solve all their problems, but from a project management, we should be at the table before we systems are rolled out, because they're, like you say, there's only a certain window of opportunity to design to design the workflow processes. After the fact is way too late, or it can be too cost prohibitive. And the second thing is, we ought to be physician champions and advocates and find what are their challenges of workflow processes. Perhaps, as I did in my tenure as a CDI manager at two hospital system in Maryland, find out, okay, how can I be the conduit and get that these limitations physicians are facing and that impact their workflow processes and effectiveness and efficiencies of caring for patients. Less time doctoring in front of the computer, more time doctoring in front of the patient. We have to change our outlook of CDI to be less retroactive, and less reactive, more proactive, and be a physician champion. So in the interest of kind of closing out our podcast, any final words or what? Any kind of take-home message you'd like to say for the audience?
Well, you know, I completely agree with your last statement, and, you know, I just want to say the time that's spent, you know, and then obviously there's not an infinite time that, you know, clinical documentation, improvement, leads, and analysts and whatnot can spend with physicians, but that time is not only just spent in completing the task of designing the software, but it also builds some empathy. It builds a culture of empathy within a rev cycle department by just getting that human interaction with the physician, understanding what they have to deal with on a day-to-day basis. So once you kind of understand what they're dealing with and what they're working on and, you know, how it's so difficult for them to, you know, do the right thing from a clinical documentation perspective, you know, it tends to smooth the communication that happens when there is something wrong or there's something that needs to get fixed. You know, because that analyst, that rev cycle lead has seen it, you know, on a firsthand basis and knows the name of the clinician and understands that, you know, they're going out of their way to have to sign off on this report or to do this co-sign or whatnot. And it's not always necessarily the easiest thing in the world when they have patients to care for on a day-to-day basis.
Right, absolutely. And I think, and I want to close with this. We can become, I'm confident based on my historic experiences of successes of engaging physicians that creating a vision of CDI to be partners with physicians. And I mean, like, treat them like constituents and not targets of our queries. Get out in front, get to know our physicians, and understand what their needs are is really going to elevate, I believe, the successes of CDI to the extent we're more physician advocates and champions as opposed to the same processes that are kind of broken in my mind. I just want to close with one comment. I saw this great article by K-Nexus. You can find it's got K-A-I-N-E-X-U-S.com. Sign up for their weekly email. It's some really good stuff. This one was posted on January 16th. It says, how to evaluate continuous improvement systems. And I want to just take a moment to read these couple of sentences in closing. We've yet to run into an organization that doesn't want to find ways to improve. Everyone wants to reduce costs, improve customer satisfaction, get more efficient, and maximize revenue generation. From a business perspective, I add to that. The difference between organizations that are successful at achieving these objectives and becoming better over time and those that fail to make progress often comes down to the structure upon which improvement initiatives are built. So I can say from the standpoint, Sean, process improvement means, or the structure means electronic health record. And if we can improve the structure of the health record, we're going to be, by definition, reducing cost, improving customer satisfaction, physicians become more efficient. We're going to have more effective, not more documentation, more effective documentation, and optimize our revenue generation. Do you agree with that in closing?
Yeah, I completely agree with that. And, you know, while I'm a little biased having worked for Epic Systems for a long time, I think those health record organizations, they're doing everything they can to try to improve their documentation, to make it more usable, to make it a joy of a software to work with. But I think they need help of the organization. So I think people who are working in an organization who have Epic representatives or whatnot, and have ideas for how to make things, more usable, more streamlined, and, make the right choice, the easiest choice, for providers. Just keep sharing that and keep communicating that with your Epic representatives, your Cerner, your Allscripts, your whatnot, because the organizations are really what give these health record organizations the feedback that they need in order to improve.
All right. Well, thank you so much, folks. I wanted to let you know we have another good podcast scheduled in the near term. I'm privileged to have Dr. Gus Camerano, a longtime colleague and physician advisor out in Pittsburgh, going to be speaking and sharing his thoughts on the role of CDI in the revenue cycle and driving true integrity by enhancing communication and patient care and driving down medical necessity. So this concludes our podcast today. Sean, I want to thank you for your time. And if you haven't seen the whole list, litany of podcasts that are on the core-cdi.com website, please go ahead and do so. And if you have any questions or comments, you can reach me through the website.
All right. Thanks for having me on, Glenn.